Welcome to the Holden Village Podcast. Holden is a community of education, programming, and worship located in the remote wilderness of the Cascade Mountains. These snapshots provide a glimpse into the learnings taking place in our community. Let's tune in to this week's highlight.
I'm Stacy Kitahata. I'm Director for Partnerships with the Krista Foundation for Global Citizenship. I'm here at the invitation and idea of Claire.
And I'm Claire. I have been coming to Holden for a long time, for as long as I can remember. And I'm a colleague of the Krista Foundation for Global Citizenship and recently employed with the Kaleidoscope Institute.
We're excited to have our co-worker and colleague here.
Hi, my name is Rediette Mulligetta, and I am Program Associate at the Krista Foundation for Global Citizenship.
So our first topic was around the scripture, the Bible story, and it was, "You are mine, challenge and support in sacred text." And we looked at the story of Jesus and the disciples in a boat, storm happens, disciples freak out, they wake up Jesus. And we looked at that a little bit more deeply. So, Claire, what did you think about how that conversation went as we explored what that the challenge and the promise that God has for us?
Yeah, I thought that it was valuable to sit with the text for a length of time, and especially after having built in some communication guidelines and some ways of sharing that kind of distributed, that really focused on listening, so that everyone was able to share in what they named to be deeper ways than they would have anticipated in a group of strangers around a text that they were all very familiar with.
Yeah, what did they use? What was that technique? Mutual invitation?
Yes. So mutual invitation is a process where we do not do any cross-talking, but we invite one another and give each other an opportunity to listen to one another's stories. And I thought that doing this Lectio Divina type of process with the group drew out a lot of personal stories and even opinions, but there was deep listening that we were able to have in the midst of the discussion.
Yeah, I was surprised in the small group that I was in how quickly we could get deeper within just 20 minutes or so of reflecting on the text.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what was our second day?
Our second day theme was, "I have called you by name, restoring us." And we hope to be able to help people build cultural self-awareness and empathy and to have practical skills for dialogue across difference and relationship building. So, and we introduced ourselves in a different way that day. In your own process of restoring yourselves and also in accompanying the people, other people in kind of exploring their own stories, what are some of the themes and patterns that you notice in that process of reclaiming stories or reimagining stories in an interculturally aware way?
That's a good question.
Well, I realized that one of the invitations is to tell my, and to know and to claim my whole story. The parts that are both less positive, maybe less attractive, more painful, more messy, and to just put that out there and just being able to incorporate that as well as the good and constructive and positive things helps me to live into what it means to be a full person. I see how it also gives other people permission to claim the wholeness of their story.
Absolutely. I think the powerful aspect for me is in a society where my story is oftentimes written as a person of color, written by others, to name and claim the complexity, the different experiences that I have that make me me. It just felt really powerful and reclaiming parts of me that people may not know and vocalizing it. I think the pattern that I was able to see is by hearing my story, people received it really well and were able to go deeper in their own story as well. So in that space, what I was impressed with was the level of vulnerability and depth and sharing. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about from the first day of how do we respect one another as we are holding the story of not only ourselves, but the community as well. So
that was perfect. I think that as women of color, Rania and I describe a different kind of experience in our iceberg of culture than Holden as a whole or as in general as a community.
Right.
I'm interested to know your perspective on that as a longtime Holdenite and as a white person.
Yes. One of the things that I did notice is that it was very difficult to get white people to talk about their race. It was difficult for me to begin that journey, and it was difficult in my groups. Very few people actually mentioned that, although we modeled that in our introductions and in all of our examples, really.
Yeah.
But it's so deeply ingrained, I would say, for whiteness. Whiteness perpetuates itself by denying its existence, right? And so I think that that is one of the biggest hurdles that I've had to try and overcome. And I keep have to fight that temptation. And I was encouraged to see little bits and pieces of that coming up. But I do think that that's something that we need to kind of continue to just name, even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And to talk with each other specifically about and avoid the temptation to kind of spin off into generalizations about society or about, you know, political things and kind of own that part of ourselves.
Yeah, I was really grateful that there was a man who said that I have to say race because it's so powerful influencer in the way I navigate the world.
Yeah.
I wonder if we should give our definition of culture that we were
using.
Would you do that?
Sure. Yeah. Okay,
thank you.
So yeah, we toss this word of culture around. It's important to have at least some common understanding of what it means. So we use the definition that Janet and Milton Bennett came up with. It's really simple. It's the learned and shared attitudes, behaviors, and beliefs of a group of interacting people. So that helps us to recognize that we have a family culture, but also Holden itself as a community has a culture, and that we move in between different cultural realms. And then it's not just race or ethnicity, right? It's all the other things. What a big conversation in our small group was about economics and class status.
Right.
Okay, we talked about age a lot. That was one characteristic that people were really grappling with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great segue to our session, which is focused on Fear Not, which is Holden's scriptural theme. Our session will focus on facing the future. So I'm curious, this is my first time at Holden, and I'm curious as you two are engaging with this community, I think there's a lot of overlaps. How do you see the future moving into this context or at what we were discussing, right? As we leave Holden and continue to engage in community outside of Holden, and then also even the future of Holden here, what are the implications? What are the hopes? And then how do you see this theme of Fear Not being a invitation for us as people in the United States even?
One of the long time kind of missions and hopes of Holden Village is it can be a place apart for people to come and have a space to gain new perspective and be equipped to then be sent back out into the world refreshed with new skills, with new perspectives and new relationships. And so my hope for offering this topic and for these conversations is that people can have some skills to reflect on their own process while they're engaging with people who are different from them, whether that's at Holden or in their home communities or wherever that may be. Because I think people have continually mentioned that there's a great fear kind of generally in the United States right now for many, many people. And that people who come to Holden generally have really wonderful intentions for supporting diversity, for creating inclusive spaces, for living out a sense of the Holy Spirit in the world. And I think sometimes we have such good intentions and such good thoughts that we get stuck a little bit in how to actually practice that and how to live that out, because these are muscles that are not taught in a regular classroom. These are not things that are necessarily taught in college classrooms either. We get a lot of theory in these places, but not a lot of actual practice.
Well, I think even in congregations, it's actually taught to not do anything.
Right.
Not explicitly, but we stop at having a good idea, being inspired, mm-hmm. and we don't actually haven't been encouraged to take that next step. And change, I think, hasn't been as positive as stability
mm-hmm. right.
and dependability, even comfort,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. And that's what our theme has been about, is that how is there both support and challenge in our relationships.
Absolutely.
We want people to be brave.
Yeah, brave, and not just only safe. Brave and safe enough to be brave and courageous.
Yeah.
One of the village pastors said to me that there was a longtime staff person or ongoing staff person who was in our second section, who said, wow, if we had done that together as staff, we would have had a really different experience in our winter community, where people are living very intensely in relationship.
Yeah.
And what is that level? How do you negotiate both openness and vulnerability, and then not burdening one another with my stuff, right? And so I think that really is the practice.
Right.
That we're hoping to nurture here in the village among the visitors and the participants, and that they can take that and be ambassadors of that, if you will, and practice that at least in some level in the communities and the groups that they're part of after they leave here.
And identifying what stake they have
mm-hmm.
in the work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Making it more personal, seeing themselves in it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.